السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I began yesterday with a story. I want to begin today with another story. Yesterday the story was to illustrate the purpose of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's coming into this world. Today's story has to do with what I can call the greatest mu'jiza, the greatest miracle, the greatest contribution of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I say this word with hesitation because when I pick something and say greatest, then there is something else which seems to be greater than that. So I'm not saying greatest in any order or preference, but greatest as in the greatest from today's perspective, and that is the formation of the Ummah, the bringing together of people with all kinds of diversities and making them into one brotherhood. Now this is it's a completely amazing thing. We talked about that yesterday also. And if you just reflect on it, the Ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, were people who came from multiple diversities. There were people who were different from each other in terms of race, in terms of tribe, in terms of color, in terms of all kinds of things. Yet, thanks to the formation of the Ummah, thanks to the acceptance of the thought and the philosophy that brotherhood is not based on color, on nationality, on language, on race, but brotherhood is based on faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in his kalam in two places. In one place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun." In another place, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fattaqun." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned himself and his ibadah and his taqwa as the reason for this ummah to be one ummah, not anything else. There is a famous quote of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, who said that there are only two kinds of people. One is your brother in faith, and the other one is your brother in humanity. One is your brother in faith, and the other one is your brother in humanity. And that's a statement of universal brotherhood which I don't think can be bettered. And that is the message of Islam. Now that is also the reason why something which seems, at least in today's context, very inconsequential and very unimportant, which is the issue of backbiting and slander, ghiba, namima and buhtan. Today this is part of our social conversation. It is the most common thing that we do. May Allah protect us from this. But in Islam, this has been castigated, criticized, condemned and made haram to an extent where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat of the Quran about this. In Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave an example, and he said, "Would you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother?" And then Allah said, "Fakaritumuh." He said, "This example is a source of karaha for you, it's a source of disgust for you. You find this example disgusting. What you are doing is worse than that. Now, why is this such a bad thing? Why is it such a bad thing? The Sahaba asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, when we say something about somebody which is critical, that is true, that person is like that. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that is why it is called ghibat. That is why it is called ghibat, which is backbiting. If you had said something which was not true, then that would be slander. That would be bohtan, which is even worse. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam differentiated in this matter of ghibah, and he mentioned two kinds of ghibah. One is to speak ill and to speak critically in a derogatory manner, to deride somebody behind his back. And he said that this is, they asked him, what is it? He said, to say something about your brother that if he heard it, he would dislike it. To say this to him directly is not riba. To say this to him directly is what you should do. If you are really interested in correcting somebody, then the best way to correct somebody, or the only way to correct somebody, is to go and speak to them in a nice manner and explain to them what they are doing wrong. But to say that behind their back to someone, obviously they don't like to hear that, and if it came back to them, which it does, then it would hurt them, it would offend them, they would feel bad about this. This is riba. And then he said there is another form of ghibah, which he called namima, and that is to cast aspersions on somebody. You actually didn't say anything, but you implied a lot. So for example, if somebody mentions a person, so you say, well, what about this man called Zaid bin Bakr? You say, oh, Zaid. Now that one sound conveys everything. But somebody tells you, no, you are doing ghibat against Zayd. He says, no, I didn't say anything. What did I say? I didn't say anything. But you say, Now that is namima. It is to cast aspersions on somebody. Oh, Zayd. Yeah. Tell me about Zayd. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said both of these are the same. Even though in the second instance you didn't actually, you know, use any words, but your tone, your expression. Now, why is this? And slander, of course, we know. I mean, this outright lies. There's no truth in that. You're manufacturing some falsehood against somebody. Now, why is this so bad? This is so bad because this is in the nature of termites. You know, dimak, termites. If you take a building, on the face of it, there is this fantastic building, huge fort, looks absolutely impregnable, massive walls, and then suddenly one day it collapses. You say, what happened? There was no earthquake, there was no, you know, nobody set off any explosive, nothing. How did it just collapse? It collapsed because from inside, it had been completely hollowed out with termites. The termites were eating it up from inside. Nobody knew. You couldn't see it because it is happening in a hidden way from the inside. And then everything collapses one day. Now that is why ghibat is bad, because on the face of it, there is brotherhood. On the face of it, you are meeting somebody, you are saying assalamu alaikum, you are smiling at the person and so on, you are inviting them to your house, you are going to their house, and so on and so forth. But behind their back, you are backstabbing them, you are character assassinating them. So it is like termites. Inside, therefore, this brotherhood is like this fortress which looks as if it is whole, but inside it is gone. It's hollow. To illustrate this, let me tell you the story. This is narrated about Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. They say that when he had been stabbed and he was dying, and there were people around him, he said to the people, he narrated to them an old Arab legend, which is called the story of the Thawr al-Abyad, the white bull. And the story of the white bull is that there was a forest in which there were three bulls. And these three were brothers, these three were very, very close to each other. They always came to each other's aid. They helped each other. And they always stayed together. These three, one was a white bull, completely white. The other one, second one, was completely brown. And the third one was completely black. So three bulls, three different colors. But they were brothers and they were close, very close. And each other's companions and each other's supporters. Now in this forest also lived a tiger. So like all tigers, the tiger had his eye on these bulls and he would try to attack them. And the only problem is the moment he attacked one of them, the other two would come running and they would drive the tiger away. And the tiger could not kill any of these bulls. He tried very hard for a long time. No success. And the bulls lived very happily, grazing wherever they wanted. So the tiger thought that if he really wanted to eat this bull, one of these bulls, then he had to up his game. So instead of attacking them, the tiger first went to the white bull and the brown bull. He found those two together and he came to them. He said, "I come in peace. I have something to say to you." They said, "Okay, what is it?" They said, "You know, it's a strange thing. You both are so beautiful. I mean, look at this white bull. You shine like the moon on a dark night. And this brown bull, you are the color of the earth, the mother from which all of us are raised. But you have this black companion of yours. He's dirty, he's black, nasty. He's sharing your grass, he's grazing where you are grazing and defiling what you eat. Why do you put up with him?" So these two thought about this. They said, "What do you have in mind? What can we do?" He said, "Nothing, nothing. Don't do anything. You don't have to do anything. Leave it to me. I will deal with it. The only thing is, when I deal with it, he calls you, don't go. That's all. If he calls you, don't come to his aid." So these two bought the story. The tiger found the black bull grazing by himself. The tiger attacked. The black bull called out, expecting as usual for his brothers to come to his aid. Nothing happened. And the black bull died. The tiger killed the black bull. The tiger ate his fill. A few days passed. Now the tiger is hungry again. So now the tiger goes to the white bull. And he says, "Well, you know, how's life?" So the white bull says, "Yeah, life is good." So the tiger says, "You know, don't you have more grass to graze now? Where three people were eating, now only two." He said, "Yeah." So he said, "Isn't it nice to be like this?" He said, "Yes." So the tiger says, "You know what? Really, you are the king of this place. Because you are white. And I told you in the first instance, you glow like the moon on a dark night. But you got this. You got rid of one nuisance, this black bull. But you still have this brown bull. I mean, what is the big difference between the black one and the brown one? They are all the same. And he's doing the same thing. He's eating your grass and so on and so on. Why do you put up with that?" So the white bull says, "Well, what shall I do?" He said, "Nothing. I told you the last time. Nothing. Just do nothing. That's enough." So the white bull said, "Okay." And the tiger found the brown bull grazing by himself. He attacked the brown bull. The brown bull called out to his brother to help him. No reaction. Nothing happened. And the brown bull died. The tiger ate his fill. Few more days passed. And then the tiger came back to the white bull. Now, of course, the white bull was not that foolish. So he knew what the score was. He knew that this bell now was tolling for him. So the black bull said to the tiger, "Give me one chance. I have one last wish. And then you can kill me." Because, you know, there's no way that the white bull alone was going to fight the tiger. You know, you can't fight the tiger, he's going to die. He said, "But give me one last wish." The tiger said, "No problem, take your last wish. You are going nowhere, you know that, I know that." So then Ali radiallahu anhu is telling this story to the people around him. The white bull climbed a hill and he stood on top of the hill. And he called out to the people of the forest and he said, "Oh people, know that I am not dying today. Know that I am not dying today. I died the day the black bull died." So Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radhiyallahu anhu said that, "Oh people, know that I am not dying today." He said, "I died when Uthman died." The reason I'm saying this to you, my brothers and sisters, is that this is the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To stay together, to not allow anyone to divide us, to be brothers to one another, and to be brothers also to others. As I told you, two kinds of brothers. Brothers in faith and brothers in humanity. Allah sent us to benefit all of humanity. But we cannot benefit anybody if we cannot benefit ourselves. And the way to benefit ourselves, where it begins, is in ittihad, is in being one. And where that begins is in giving up and closing the doors to all ghibat and all namima and all buhtan, all backbiting and all slander and all casting negative aspersions on people. It has to begin from there. Any time anybody says anything negative about another person, we have to do one of two things. Either get up and walk out, or tell that person, "Please, we are not talking ill about anybody. If you are really interested in that person, go and speak to that person. Stand in the night and cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah to change that individual. But don't tell me, don't tell us, don't talk behind the person's back." My brothers and sisters, Allah, I remind myself when you, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about this ummah, he said, "This ummah is like one human being. It's like one person. When the head pains, the whole body feels the pain. It's only when, to understand this, the sign of life is not the ability to feel happiness, but the ability to feel pain. This is how doctors test to see if a person is dead. If there are no signs of life, doctors don't go to the person and tell him a joke and see if he's going to laugh. They don't go and tickle him to see if he's going to laugh. They cause him pain. They pinch him, they poke him with a needle or something, and they open the eye and they put their finger in the eye and touch the pupil. And when there is no sign that this person is feeling any pain, then that person is no longer a person. That person is a body. That person is a body. What do you say when you are doing the Salatul Janaza of somebody? You will say Mayyat Lao. You say, "Bring the Mayyat." That Mayyat had a name until 5 minutes ago, until 1 hour ago. But you don't say, "Bring so and so." You say, "Bring the Mayyat. Place the mayyat here. Put the mayyat in the grave." We don't say, "Put so and so in the grave. Put my father in the grave." No. It is your father, it is your son, it is your whoever. May Allah protect us. Because when the body no longer feels pain, that body is no longer alive. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to understand the importance of being together, the importance of being one, to understand the importance of fighting any initiative that is taken by anybody to drive us apart, to separate us, to divide us, and to oppose that initiative and refuse to be divided and refuse to be driven apart on any basis, on absolute any basis. The sad thing today is the religion was supposed to bring us together. Today religion is the number one reason why we break up. Not for any other reason. It's a strange thing. When people who have, when Muslims have no religion, they are irreligious, they are, you know, drinking together, they are dancing together, they are having a ball together, but when they become religious, they don't pray together. Isn't it true? The bar is one, the disco is one, the massages are different. So religion is a curse. You were better off when you were not, when you didn't have religion, because at least you were together. You came to each other's help, you came to each other's aid, you laughed and you enjoyed life. Now religion, you made it a curse on yourself, because you became religious, now you have differences. Now this person is from this firqa and that person is from that sect and so on and so forth, and I won't pray behind him and he cannot come into my masjid, and inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Please let us wake up. Religion is a blessing. Islam is the biggest blessing that we can have. Don't turn that blessing into a curse. Do not listen to the divisive language of anybody, no matter who that person is. I don't care where this sheikh came from, even if this sheikh was brought by Jibreel alayhi salam and he's speaking the language of division, he's not speaking the language of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Reject him. Even if you see him descending with an angel, reject him. Because he is not an angel, that angel is shaitan in the disguise of an angel, he's not an angel. Reject anybody who talks the language of hatred. Reject anybody who talks the language of division. Allah did not send us into this world to hate people. Allah did not send Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to hate people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not even hate people who were his mortal enemies, who did their best to try to kill him, who actually almost succeeded in killing him in the Battle of Uhud. I want to end with that story. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was badly injured. There was a man who threw a rock at him and it hit him on the side of his blessed face. The links of his face chainmail went into his face. His teeth were broken. And people say that maybe he also had a hairline fracture in the skull, because when the doctors today compare the suffering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the end of his life, where he used to get these blinding migraines, they say that was probably a sign of meningitis, and the infection probably took place because of a crack in the skull at the time of Uhud. Wallahu alam. But he suffered from concussion, he fell down. It was massive bleeding because facial and skull wounds, they bleed a lot. People thought he had died. The Sahaba moved him up the mountain into a depression where he was protected. And when he gained consciousness and they removed the chain link from his face, and they tried to bandage him and so on, When he gained consciousness, the Sahaba said to him, Ya Rasulullah, this is enough. They said, this is enough. This is the limit. The final line has been crossed. Now please make dua for the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on these people, our enemies. Because finally thou, whatever they have done, they fought us, they tried to kill us, they tortured us, all of this we accept. But now they have attacked you personally and they have injured you. And they actually tried to kill you. For what? Because you want to save them from the hellfire? This is a crime? Because you wish the best for them in this dunya and akhirah? This is a crime? So please make dua. Rasulullah ﷺ sat up. He raised his hands. As I said, put yourself in that scene. Put yourself in the scene. What must have been happening? All the malaika of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their tawajjuh is towards Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know from the history that Anbiya made dua against their people when their transgressions got to a point where there was, no chance of anything happening positive. Nuh alayhi salam made dua against his people. Musa alayhi salam made dua against Firaun. Musa alayhi salam made dua and Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, do not give him hidayah. Specifically, Musa alayhi salam said, do not give him hidayah. Because of all that he has done, Musa alayhi salam wanted to make sure that he ends up in the hellfire. So even if he makes tawbah, don't accept. Do not accept his tawbah. Don't give him hidayah. So the sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat up. He raised his hands. And then he spoke. The Sahaba are listening for the words which will bring down the adab of Allah on their enemies. But what did they hear? What did he say? He said, O Allah, forgive my people, for they do not know what they do. Allahumma ighfir li qawmi, fa innahum la ya'lamun. He said, O Allah, forgive my people. Forgive my people. Who? The ones who are trying to kill me. Forgive my people, fa innahum la ya'lamun. Because they don't know what they are doing. This is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you and I are the people who said Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This kalima is a statement, or these two kalimas are statements not of information but announcing a relationship. La ilaha illallah is not a statement of information. They announce a relationship. And it is this relationship which will see us through when we meet Allah. The question of the grave is not wa ma rabbul alameen. What is this question of the grave? Man Rabbuk, Rabbuka. Man Rabbuki. Man Rabbuk. The malaika are not asking who is the Rabb. They know who is the Rabb. They are not asking for information. They know this. They are asking who is your Rabb. So La ilaha illallah is a statement of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. And Muhammadur Rasulullah is a statement of our relationship with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The person who has a relationship with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam follows him and makes his ittiba, meaning he behaves like him, he talks like him, he deals like him, He looks like him. And the first and most significant principle of that is kindness, is compassion, is togetherness, is forgiveness. Number one principle. If somebody asked me, tell me about only one quality of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will say it is kindness. Because in that kindness is contained compassion, is contained forgiveness. This is what we expect from Allah. This is what our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. And this is what we need to inculcate in ourselves. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to make that easy for us, to bless us with that, to fill our lives with the barakah of that, and to enable us to live a life in which we are kind to everybody, we are compassionate to all those who need compassion, and we forgive those who wrong us. And then, as I say, and then see how the world turns towards you. This is not a figment of my imagination. This is not my husnazan. This is history. This is recorded history. This is what happened with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions when they refused to take revenge, when they refused even to seek compensation. The hearts of people turned. And they became the most beloved of people. From being the most hated of people, they became the most beloved of people because they took the initiative of being forgiving, of being kind. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ